There seems to be many issues in society today that divide us, as some have formed strong opinions and have no interest in intelligently discussing them with one another. Even within our families and friends, our relations can become strained, difficult, and labored. We can harbor negative thoughts and feelings, preoccupying us at times, which keeps us from the love of God. It's also easy to get caught up with the latest news or scanning social media like Facebook. How do we spend our time each day? On Labor Day, Father Brendan shared how our labors need to be redirected to supporting one another, especially those in need, to adjust our mindsets a little bit and be considerate of how we spend our time in labor to living in the imitation of Christ. This can best be described as actively living a life of holiness. As part of the Vatican II decrees, Lumen Gentium, written by Pope Paul VI, describes for us, in the church, everyone, whether belonging to the hierarchy or being cared for by it, is called to holiness. The holiness of the church is continual and active. It's not static. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we find it expressed in different ways by individuals from all walks of life. The holiness of the church is a reflection of each and every one of us. Gifted to us by Jesus is the Holy Spirit, the advocate, who by grace directed us to inwardly love God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength, that we might love each other just as Christ loves us. As the baptized and faithful, we're called to live our lives according to the direction that Christ has set for us, imitators of his life, with humbleness, mercy, and kindness, continuously active in our efforts and not content with our acts of mercy from yesterday. Our lives are now his as sons and daughters of God. We're sharers in his divine nature through our own baptism. Paul VI states, then too, by God's gift, we must hold on to and complete in our lives this holiness that we've received. Everyone is gifted by God, and by sharing these gifts and talents with others, expands the effect of holiness throughout our parish and our community. Again, in Lumen Gentium, we find so beautifully written, God pours out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Thus, the first and most necessary gift is love, by which we love God above all things and our neighbors because of God. Indeed, in order that love, as good seed, may grow and bring forth fruit in the soul, each of the faithful must be willing to hear the word of God, accept his will, and complete what God has begun by their very own actions with the help of God's grace. We're all called to holiness, towards fullness in our faith, because our love of God and our hearts filled with grace. We cannot deny our brothers and sisters within our community in need or those around the world. In his decree, Paul VI concludes, finally, all Christian faithful, whatever be the conditions, duties, and circumstances of their lives, and indeed through these, will daily increase in holiness if they receive all things in faith from the hand of God, and if they cooperate with the divine will. In holiness, our hearts are full of love. But what does love look like? St. Augustine gives us this example. Love has the hands to help others, the feet to hasten to the poor and to the needy. Love has the eyes to see misery and want. Love has the ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of men. Both our readings today and our gospel reach out to us in a spirit of holiness, love, and reconciliation. In our first reading, we're reminded sin occurs by commission and also by omission. And as brothers and sisters, We are each watchman, accountable to God and to one another. Then Paul tells the Romans and us that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to your neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. These words of love encourage us to look past our differences and through love and reconciliation, focus on our commonalities, for love is the fulfillment of the ultimate law of God. In our gospel message, Jesus offers in love the hierarchy of the church for reconciliation, as we all have a role in these works. In response, how one treats the sinner or someone troubled, writer Megan McKenna exclaims, "Love them more." Jesus is saying the same to us as we reveal whether we are the beloved children of God by how we treat members of our family, our fellow parishioners, and those in our community. We're all accountable for all we've loved and encouraged, while at the same time judged for those we lost along the way or did not try to help. How does Jesus treat the sinner? With more compassion, understanding, forgiveness, and love. McKenna continues, "When two or three are gathered, what do we expect of Jesus in our midst?" She says we must be asking for grace, for the realization of the words from St. Augustine in our lives, not to separate or divide us because we have disagreements, but in loving, forgiving fashion, honor God and one another through reconciliation. Recently, a good friend told me this. God looks to us and expects something from us, to see the world as it truly is, as we're often turning away from our responsibilities from God and to one another. Most of us live our lives as Peter did, waffling in our faith and service to the Lord, faithful one day and in denial the next. Jesus tells us in response, "I love you anyway, but try a little harder." We live our lives so close to sacred holiness as Jesus encounters us each day, again, quietly saying, "I will never stop loving you, but keep trying." Allow the unconditional love of Jesus to bring increased love and holiness into your lives, giving you calmness and peace, only found in Him, rising above the static storminess of this world.